This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, and this is episode 717 of the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Thanks for tuning in. The Week 13 NFL Sunday Million is officially live on FanDuel. Showcase your NFL knowledge and construct your best 9-player roster while staying under the salary cap. Then follow along using FanDuel's live scoring feature to compete for your share of $1.25 million in cash prizes, including a cool $250,000 first place prize, all for just $5. Sunday's quickly approaching, so head to FanDuel and submit your lineups today. Eligibility restrictions apply. Go to FanDuel.com or download the FanDuel app for more details. One player who almost made the 15 transactions list this week is David Bell. With Deshaun Watson coming back, the Browns' passing attack is getting a hypothetical boost. No shade to Jacoby Brissett. And Bell has seen an increase in usage over his last couple of games. He's seen snap shares of 63% and 64% over those two games. That number had typically been in the 40 to 50% range throughout the season. And that's translated into better target shares. He's now hit a double-digit percentage target share in each of his last four games. He hadn't done that once across his first seven. He had a season-high 16.7% target share in Week 12. His target totals have been 5, 5, and 6 over his last three. Watch out for David Bell. The New England Patriots have been really good against running backs in fantasy football this year. If you look at fantasy points allowed, you'll find them ranked as the toughest matchup against running backs in PPR formats. They're allowing 15.6 PPR points per game to opposing running backs. So team running backs against New England have scored 15.6 PPR points per game. The thing is, those running backs this season that they faced, they're averaging over 23 points per game. The Patriots have actually faced an above-average running back schedule. And yet they still rank as the best team in points allowed to the position. So when you adjust for strength of opponent, New England is by far the best team against running backs. The next closest team, according to my numbers, is Washington, and they're roughly 3 points per game lower in adjusted fantasy points allowed. Washington, by the way, is 29th in raw fantasy points allowed. The Patriots are crushing running backs right now. Trey McBride has not been it. In two games without Zach Ertz, McBride has scored 6.5 PPR points while seeing a target share a little above 10% per game. More importantly, he's only had 15 receiving yards. He's had 15 receiving yards despite running the 7th most routes at tight end over the last 2 weeks across the league. He's got a yards per route run rate over these two games of 0.25. We know it's tough to be a productive rookie tight end, but it has not been a good start for Trey McBride. Speaking of Cardinals pass catchers, Hollywood Brown returned from injury this past week, and he just played his normal role. He ran 3 more routes than any other player for Arizona, and he led the team with a 30% target share. His performance wasn't fantastic, but those peripherals, they should give you a lot of optimism moving forward. Juju Smith-Schuster was coming off a concussion this past week, and he didn't do a whole lot. He caught 3 balls for 38 yards. He had an 8% target share for Kansas City. He also didn't play his typical role. Travis Kelce, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Justin Watson all ran significantly more routes than Juju on Sunday. That explains his lack of production. He should have better games upcoming. But do be aware that according to adjusted fantasy points allowed, the Chiefs have the toughest wide receiver schedule through the end of the year. Fortunately, this week could at least be a higher scoring game. Tyler Boyd's production this year has been really, really weird and really, really mediocre. Most would think that Boyd would have gotten a boost with Ja'Marr Chase out, but that has not been the case. With Chase this year, he scored 13.6 PPR points per game and a 14% target share per game. Without Chase, that target share per game did rise to 16%. It bumped up about 2 percentage points. But his points per game total without Ja'Marr Chase has been 8. 8 PPR points per game. Now, he's capable of having spiked weeks because of the offense that he's in. But Tyler Boyd's not really even a handcuff-type wide receiver at this point. Let's talk Elijah Moore because he's coming off his best outing of the season with 2 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown. I'm not totally buying into this despite the quarterback change for one obvious reason. The Jets aren't using Moore any differently. He was still 5th on the team in routes run this past week, and he played half the number of snaps as teammate Corey Davis. Davis is someone that I would rather add off the waiver wire this week than Elijah Moore, even though Davis had the worst performance. We have to keep hoping the Jets raise Elijah Moore's snap count. It seems pretty clear who the top two wide receivers on that team are. Jamal Williams has seen more than a 50% snap share in just one of Detroit's games this year. It's pretty wild with that type of snap rate, he still found the end zone 13 times. Now let me give you some perspective. I think Jamal Williams' season probably comps best to LeGarrette Blount back in 2016. But that year, Blount had 18 rushing touchdowns in 16 games. He also averaged 18.7 rush attempts per game. Right now, Jamal Williams is at 16.1. LeGarrette Blount also had a snap share of 47% that year. He played more than half of New England's snaps in 7 of 16 games. Jamal Williams has played more than half of Detroit's snaps, like I said, in 1 of 11 games. And on the season, his snap share is about 5 percentage points lower than LeGarrette Blount's. Fortunately for anyone with Williams, and I talked about this last week on the show, but the Lions have a pretty nice running back schedule from here on out. I still have him ranked as an RB2. But this season has been absolutely wild for him. Ezekiel Elliott saw just one target to Tony Pollard's 2 on Thanksgiving. Elliott's now averaged just 1.1 targets per game this year. But oddly, on Thanksgiving, during that game, Zeke actually ran more routes than Pollard. He ran 3 more routes. In week 11, the game prior, Pollard ran 13 more routes. This is something to monitor for week 13, because if this continues, it would definitely hurt Tony Pollard's rest of season fantasy production. The last trend this week is about Kenneth Walker. Walker's a really, really fun running back who can hit a home run on any play. But there's at least a little concern right now with his overall production profile. Number one, he saw a 24% target share when we saw the Seahawks against the Bucks back in week 10. Then out of their bye, he had a 3% target share. He saw just one target this past week. It's probably okay though, because his routes run number wasn't horrible. He ran 14 more routes than Travis Homer, according to PFF. Number two is a little bit more interesting. Kenneth Walker has only a 33% success rate this year. That's not a good number. And it may not be that surprising when you consider how he's done the last couple of games. He has fewer than 2 yards per carry over his last two. And he hasn't hit 3 yards per carry in 3 of his last 4. This is not to say that he's bad. Please don't take it the wrong way. It's just that I think his fantasy totals, which have been fantastic, they're likely a little bit more volatile than they appear. The ceiling is absolutely there each week, but the floor is probably scarier than most realize. He was fortunate to see a ton of looks through the air back in week 10. That boosted his PPR total. And then this past week, he found the end zone twice. That gave him a high-end RB2 week. It's just concerning to think about a game where the receiving work isn't there, and then he fails to find the end zone. It may not happen this year, but it's definitely a possibility. We've seen those things happen separately in separate games. We've seen him not see a lot of work through the air, and then we've also seen him not find the end zone. He's still a very strong fantasy asset, but it's at least something to know. That's it for today's show, though. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've yet subscribed to the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Remember to check out lateround.com. Join the Patreon to get access to rest of season rankings, weekly rankings and tiers, data dumps, and an awesome Discord community. And subscribe to the free newsletter as well. Thanks for listening, everyone. Really appreciate it. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the weekly sleeper show.